All right, welcome back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Final hour here tonight, and we've got Friday coming up, and then, of course, we have a nice Memorial weekend. That's going to be sweet, and I hope you are going to spend it in the pursuit of, you know, the word recreation, it means recreation. Huh?
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Right. Recreate. So that's what you ought to do. Now, a couple things. Our last broadcast on Talk Radio Network is the 24th, and we're going to be moving into expanding the platform of the Phil Hendry effort, the Phil Hendry Show. So we're not only going to be pursuing aggressively our digital presence, but we'll also have we're looking to have a terrestrial presence or a satellite presence, one of the two. There's a reason for that. And some people may say, well, having a radio show. Well, having a radio show these days is really more about promoting your so-called brand. And for our purposes, it will also be for us to return to our show at its strength, which was the use of phone calls from listeners, but in the Phil Hendry way. So that's all ahead of us. And as we pursue all of that, I'll try to keep you in the loop as much as I can. If you're an affiliate, be advised we will be in touch with you. If you're an affiliate that wants to stay with us, I should say, be advised that we're going to remain in touch with all of you guys, and we appreciate your patience. And it's a new chapter, and one of the things that is going to be included in it, and I've been talking a lot about it, is a one-man stage show. So we're on stage and we're interacting with you, our listeners, and I'm doing what we do on the radio, only live. And it's going to be a great opportunity to be with our audience in that particular way, where you guys can come out. A lot of people going out and seeing live theater anyway these days, whether it's comedy, you know, or a single individual show or what have you. And this will be our opportunity to interact with you that way as well. So there's lots of places that we want to take the Phil Hendry, I don't know what you would call it.
The Phil Hendry experience.
Yeah, Dick Blakeman, are you experienced? If you can just...
Yeah, you do that song if you can get your mind together.
Yeah.
Okay, but it ain't all psychedelic, you know.
Yeah, but you get your mind together. Woo! You know.
He's doing that on purpose.
Don't do the woo, bud.
Why not?
Because it bugs me. So anyway, as I say, stay tuned. Lots of exciting things about to happen. Thanks to Doug Danger for the entertainment report. We were shortened in the final segment concerning the gentleman where the hell was it? Columbus. Where was that guy anyway? Where did that happen, man? Cleveland, Ohio. Charles Ramsey and the hamburgers. But suffice to say, the guy has gotten a lifetime pass. But we got bogged down in talking to our crew here to find out just exactly what their morality is all about. When I asked Bud and Robert, what would you put your hamburger down to help somebody, not if it was an In-N-Out burger with fries?
Well, man, you asked the question.
Yeah, there's every man, you know, there's certain burger you're not going to put down.
That makes me sick to my stomach that you guys would answer that way.
Well, what's wrong with it, Phil?
You don't understand?
You're asking, the boys didn't say that they wouldn't help. They said that if you're saying put down an In-N-Out burger, now you've got an argument.
Yeah, now you got to kind of, you know, you kind of weigh one against the other.
For an In-N-Out burger?
Yeah, I mean, you yourself said you like In-N-Out burger.
I don't like In-N-Out burger so much that I'm going to sit there and keep munching it while somebody's screaming to get out of a house. She's in with a homicidal. What if she was in there with Michael Myers from Halloween?
What?
The lady that was trying to get out of the house, you're eating your In-N-Out burger.
If she's all, yeah, right.
You talking about who?
Michael Myers from Halloween.
Well, I mean, first of all, Michael Myers is very formidable. Is that it?
Yes, formidable.
And I don't have no In-N-Out. I've got to think about it. That's the first thing you got to do if you have a Michael Myers.
That is true.
You got to think about it. And I'm thinking, and I got the burger, or if I have fry, or if I have a shake.
So you're going to go ahead and finish your burger and your fries and your shake?
Yeah, because you have to think about it.
You got to think about it while Michael Myers is in there slashing and hacking somebody to bits like he did in those movies.
Well...
Remember the movies that we saw with Michael Myers?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Okay, then he's in there with a machete or whatever he did.
Well, one time he took a hypodermic needle to a guy's eyeball.
Okay, fine. And while he's taking hypodermic needles to people's eyeballs, you guys are munching on your in and out, thinking, well, I better get... What, are you trying to get your strength up?
My low blood sugar, yeah.
You don't want... Phil, this sounds silly. Do you want to go up against a butchering maniac like Michael Myers with low blood sugar?
Oh, come on. You guys are just gutless.
What? Dude, can't say that.
I just did. You're gutless. No guts.
Oh, so you'd walk in and confront Michael Myers without even so much as a proper burger lunch or...
No, you're right, Margaret. I would stop down and I would make sure that I had my vitamins before. You guys, you're goofy. You're like typical Americans. Typical Americans. No guts.
How dare you say Americans don't have guts? We're in Iraq and Afghanistan fighting for the freedom.
Look at the anti-war person.
You know what I mean. I saw Medea Benjamin today.
And what did she say?
She said, keep up the good work.
Well, isn't that she saying that to me or to you?
To you.
Oh. All right. Jennifer Aniston plays a stripper but doesn't get nude in We're the Millers. Well, isn't that too bad? Because that's all I care about. And if she's not nude, then there's no movie. However.
Let me see. Jennifer Aniston plays a stripper.
Give me that back. Jennifer Aniston.
I want to see it.
Don't grab stuff out of my... How many times have I told you guys, okay? I bet you have eaten an In-N-Out burger. You wouldn't have grabbed this out of my hand.
If I had one mitt free.
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston plays a stripper in her new movie, We're the Millers. But those looking forward to seeing the star take it all off and see how hot her ass is are in for a... It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. But those who are looking forward to seeing the star take it all off are in for a serious disappointment. She's as flat as two billiard balls on a coffee table. That's not flat, is it?
You meant ball bearing.
Ball bearings. Anyway, the 44-year-old actress told Chelsea Lately host Chelsea Handler, who does take her clothes off in public quite often, that she doesn't do... It doesn't say that. Quit trying to look. That she doesn't do full nudity in the film and actually wore three bras on top of one another to cover herself up. What? While she doesn't get completely naked, Aniston made sure to take her clothes off when she got into other clothes. And she... I'm kidding. Aniston made sure to step up her workout routine in order to get ready for the racy role. She wanted to make sure, quote, her ass was taut and that you could bounce a quarter off of it, and that her breasts were full.
Well, why don't you say it the way it's written, Phil? No one knows what you're talking about.
I'm having some fun with a copy. I'm sorry. Aniston made sure to step up her workout routine in order to get ready for the racy role. The actress told Extra that she credits her super toned body to her friend and yoga teacher, Mandy Inger, and doubled the amount of yoga she normally does. You get up to my age and you're going to do a little bit more, she said. Aniston seemed to have a lot of fun playing a stripper in the film, telling Extra, stripping was so much fun. I had a great choreographer. She was fantastic, and it was to great music, and it was fun, and it was great. We're the Millers hits theaters on August 9th.
Why are you reading that with such disrespect?
Because it's obviously a story that a publicist got. It's not a story here, okay?
But it's a story there. Jennifer Aniston showing her butt and everything.
It doesn't say... I'm telling you that it is a story that is written... The person that wrote this couldn't have been more bored. Because she's talking about her yoga, she's talking about this, talking about that. Nobody cares. Nobody goes to see Jennifer Aniston movies, I'm sorry to say. I'm sorry that she's very funny. She's terrific. She's got a fantastic publicist. They keep her name out there in public. She's doing this, she's doing that. But it ain't like she's setting the world on fire. Take a look at her. And if you want to compare people, let's compare her to who?
All right, Angelina Jolie.
All right, Angelina Jolie, go ahead.
Well, I think Jennifer Aniston, on the whole, compares very well to Angelina Jolie. First of all, I think Jennifer, if I may say, is a more wholesome kind of beauty. I think Angelina Jolie, while beautiful, her lips are too full. Her face puffs into that...
You just say it.
It puffs into a slut. There's a slut pout that I've often talked about in my column.
A slut pout?
Yes. Now, Jennifer Aniston is also very athletic, Angelina Jolie hung with Billy Bob Boob, whatever that guy's name is, Billy Boo Bobby or something.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton. Oh, there's a piece of work. The man looks as if he's done nothing but snorted off a hunting knife since he was three. He looks like someone who, if he runs out of methamphetamine, he starts cracking open capsules of Adderall. And just, you know, I can just see him. It's disgusting. I find him very sexy. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure that he's packing something. Anyway.
All right. So, in other words, Angelina Jolie is hanging with a cooler, hipper crowd, and she's, you know, she just is more interesting. So that's why you don't want to say she's more interesting than Jennifer Aniston. You think Jennifer Aniston is.
Yes, I think. No, I don't want to. I'm not hiding anything, Phil.
Well, then why don't you just come out and say it? You think Angelina Jolie is more interesting?
I don't think she's more interesting. I think she's probably had way more sex, taken far more drugs, and has done way more interesting films. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, that you had to get the slamming, though, about the drugs. Okay, so, and Jennifer Aniston, in your opinion, is?
She's just not getting it done. Her face, I don't know, her face ain't making it.
What do you mean her face ain't making it?
Compared to Angelina Jolie, Jennifer Aniston's face doesn't make it.
Doesn't make it or naked?
I said make it.
All right, Margaret, God.
Well, listen, I think in the words of Bradford Dillman in that great film Magnum Force, it wasn't Bradford Dillman, it was Bradford Dillman to whom Clint Eastwood said the words, your mouthwash ain't making it, you know?
So
that's probably what Jennifer Aniston's problem, her mouthwash ain't making it.
She said nothing about Jennifer Aniston's mouthwash. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's got to be a reason why she's struggling.
Well, it ain't her mouthwash.
And how do you know?
Because I don't think it is. Because I'm going out on a limb and I'm saying that Jennifer Aniston's doing fine. And if she's not doing fine, if there's trouble, it ain't because of her mouthwash.
All right, her face ain't making it.
It's not about her face. It's not about her face at all. I think she's perceived a certain way. I think she's a comedian.
A comedian. Look at you doing the French.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, Miss Gray, he's been doing that a lot lately.
Oh, are you making reports to Margaret on what I'm doing behind the scenes?
No.
Well, then don't.
Well, you did do the French there, Phil.
Yeah, Phil.
All right, fine. So what? Let's move on, okay? I'm getting sick of this. So, yeah, I don't think that Jennifer Aniston... I believe that she's perceived a certain way. Maybe it's because she wants to be. She does comedies. She's a comedian. She, Angelina Jolie has done drama and is the scion of a great American acting family, to wit, John Voight. Marijuana, the next diabetes drug? Maybe. Toking up may help marijuana users stay slim and lower their risk of developing diabetes. But according to the latest study, which suggests that cannabis compounds may help in controlling blood sugar. Are you ready for that? The very thing that caused most of us to discover Oreo Double Stuffs is now going to help us lose weight? Ha, 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 ha! We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Gentlemen, I found a story here that just, I always avoid pet stories, not because I don't like pets, but because they always just, you know, they break my heart or I can't take it. You know, I can't take read, even if it's good news, it's hard for me to get into the story because there's always some bad stuff that happened in between. I don't know what it is about animals. I don't know why we are the way we are as human beings. We seem to have a better ability at relating to animals than we do to other human beings. And I realize that for some human beings, it's easier to relate to animals because relating to humans for some humans is traumatic. You know, it's been a difficult thing their whole lives. You know, you can't, your parents, your siblings, you just had a hard time, you know?
Yes. And now you're living in a darkened building that's been abandoned for years. And the only thing you can relate to is a dog until you make your next kill. Good Lord.
What are you talking about?
Well, you're endorsing, Phil, these hermit types. The only time they go out during the day is to mail off their next bomb and then come home and feed their dog off of their own plate. No, I know the type.
Oh, come on. Now, I'm not talking about that. I mean, animals are easy for a lot of us to relate to. That's just how it is. It's the way it's always been. What do you want from me, okay? There's a dog story here in the news today that I thought I would grab. And this is from the tornado-wrecked state of Oklahoma. And it has to do with a dog that was found standing guard over a tornado victim, even as this poor animal had been lost to his or her owners. I guess he's a he. And here's the dog. Let's see if I can get the picture of this little doggy. He's right here. It says view photo. So I'll click on that. Those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD, he's a black and white dog. He was standing guard over a tornado victim and was finally reunited. It's a she, a female, and was finally reunited with her owner. There's a happy ending to the story of a dog found alive in the rubble after a massive tornado devastated Moore, Oklahoma. She's been reunited with her owner. Because Susie was found standing guard over a body, officials believed she belonged to one of the victims of the storms. CSO deputies searching for victims found a 13-year-old, this dog is a border collie mix, standing guard over a deceased male inside a house in Moore. The deputy convinced the dog to leave the side of the deceased victim and eventually made sure the pup was taken to an emergency tornado animal shelter. The department, who initially tweeted out the photo in the immediate aftermath of the storm, later added their sad context to the story. Story behind dog picture, the dog was standing guarding its deceased owner, taken to shelter. Deputy plans on adopting Twitter.com, and then they tell you the deputy's name. And this is from the Oklahoma County Sheriff. But then good news. The owner's sister saw one of the photos and contacted the department on Facebook. Sheila Collins told them that the dog belonged to her brother, Curtis, who lives about a half of a mile from where Susie was found. He'd been looking for the dog since the storm, and eventually the two were reunited. How about that?
That's pretty good.
Oh, don't. He's bawling.
Well, it's a sad story, Phil.
How about that? He's standing guard over a deceased person, a border. Look at, there's Susie. And she was, now what? It's just, she, maybe this was somebody that was alive at one point, and then Susie, and then died. And so Susie, does that happen? I don't know.
You'd have to get the dog whisper or something like that.
Yeah, get a dog whisper on there.
Well, I'm not going to go call the dog whisperer, but I guess it's something like that, you know. Who do we know that's a dog person?
Well, let's see, I can call up Art Riego, I think he knows a dog, and there's a few people, Jim Melvecchio.
Oh, Jim Melvecchio or Don Dugan. Either one of them.
I don't know Don Dugan. I wouldn't know Don Dugan if I fell over him.
Well, get to know Don Dugan because Don Dugan wants to know you. That's his slogan.
Yeah, he's it. Dog trainer.
Get to know Dog...
He didn't say Don Dugan. God, Phil.
What's his name?
Get to know Don Dugan is his name. Get to know Don Dugan because Don Dugan damn well needs to know you.
And that's a dog trainer, and that's his claim, huh? That's his advertising?
Yeah. It's on the side of his It's on a car.
You guys, if English is your second language, just let me know, okay? That way we can cut through all the horse dung. It's on the side of a card?
No, on the side of a car.
On the side of a car, and his name is Dog Dugan.
No, it's not Dong.
You said Dong.
It's Doug.
It's Don Dugan.
Don Dugan.
He sounds like he's half out of his mind, but go ahead, get him on the phone. We'll talk to Don Dugan, because you got to get to know Don Dugan. He damn well needs to know you. He's a dog trainer, and he'll tell us why that dog was standing over that dead body. It's quite a compelling story. The dog is reunited with her owner. Her name is Susie, and she was reunited with Mr. Curtis Brown, I think was the family. Curtis Collins. He lived a half a mile away from where Susie was found, and Susie was finally convinced by the sheriff. You can imagine the sheriff had to go easy with this dog. It was probably growling. It probably did not want to have any hands put on it. And so they had to do a little talking to Susie before she finally came out of the house and went with him. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Wow.
Doug Dugan, not...
Dean, Don Dugan, or Don the Dong Dugan.
Don the Dong Dugan, I don't know.
Hi, Don Dugan. Well, that's a border collie mix. Well, those are mixes. That's a border collie mix. It's a good dog.
Phil Henry.
All right, it's a border collie mix. It's a good dog.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don Dugan is on the line with us. Mr. Dugan is a dog trainer from Culver City, California. And, Don, thanks for joining us at such a late notice.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Phil.
Now, did you hear about this little collie mix that they found in Oregon?
I did. As a matter of fact, we're following it. Is that the woman's car? That's the same woman.
Is that her car? That's Bobby Dooley's car?
All I know is I talked to a lady here a moment ago who said that she was on your show. I said, well, I'm about to go on the show, too. And she said, you're kidding. And I said, no, I'm not. And she's still waiting for AAA as we speak.
You're kidding me. Would you get on the phone?
I told her about it.
I'll go inside. There's a hotel here. And I can go inside and see if I can't get some help for the lady.
No, you don't have to do that. She's got all the help in the world she needs. She should have had help an hour ago.
Well, she's talking to another man here. She says it's her husband. But they can't get this car alarm shut off. So I offered to help, and I probably should not have, Phil, because I want to just talk to you about this. It's a very fascinating story that we're talking about here. Let me go into the lobby here. This is a complex around here.
Hi.
And I'll sit down.
Okay, Don, thank you very much. It's funny how I can explain this to guests on my show a million different ways, and you're the only guy that figured out how to go out of a lousy area and go into an area that we can work with.
Well, it's my pleasure.
All right, so this collie mix.
Right. Saw that publicized this afternoon. And I talked to my partner, Gina Juarez, and she told me that these border mixed collies oftentimes are a different kind of an animal. At one time, they were used, as you probably know, Phil, as on farms, used to herd animals, especially these dogs that are low to the ground that can act as sheep herders. A border collie is a very, very good animal, a farm animal, and herding animals and this kind of thing. So they tend to do a lot of human work, and they tend to do, and they tend to work well with humans. What I suspect happened here with this little border collie mix is that she got frightened. She left the area where she lived, the area of the home where she lived. She might have gotten confused, or at least she got disoriented at some point. Came to a house. She probably saw smoke in a chimney, and there might have been a light on. And so she immediately decided that she would try her luck there. But I don't doubt that that was the first house that she went to. It was probably the third or the fourth.
What do you mean smoke in the chimney?
Well, if she's walking down a street...
Well, are you saying that a dog recognizes normal human comforts?
Well, I'm not sure what you're... What are you asking?
Well, what I'm asking you, and what I think Margaret is asking, is he saw smoke in the chimney.
Well, you know, he saw it. A dog can see that human habitation is right around the corner. You know, a dog can tell if there's good times ahead or if there's bad times. You know, a dog can tell. If a dog sees smoke in a chimney, he knows his troubles are over. And it's not too different from the song that was sung in the 30s. You know, Rover's troubles, they're all over. Roll over, Rover, my troubles are over. There's smoke in the chimney. And there's something about a black or a, what they called in those days, a colored hand. But it goes, move over, Rover, your troubles are over. There's smoke in the chimney and then something about a colored band. And then it goes on and says, we came across the border down Mexicali Way. You came in handy, but now it's time to say goodbye to your Rover. Where is my gun? Once I finish you, then I'm done. Now,
what is that about?
Well, it's a Depression era song about a guy that can't feed himself or his dog any longer, and so it's going to be a murder suicide.
Can we get into why it is we're talking to you, please? Don, I brought you on the program.
Oh, I know why you brought me on the program, Margaret. I'm very happy that you did. This is a beautiful animal.
Why did that dog stand guard over a dead body?
Well, because I suspect you were correct initially, Phil, that the man was alive. I think that the dog was scared, and the dog saw a fire in the hearth and probably a chance to get warm and knocked on the door.
A dog knocks on the door.
So not knocked on the door, but made his presence known, and the man inside the house, who I believe was most likely already injured, crawled to the door, however he did it, opened the door, and the dog came in, and I'm saying all this in human terms. I don't believe that the house was even standing. It was probably a pile of rubble, and this guy crawled out of the rubble and brought the dog. But I'm imagining that there was a fire and a smoke in the chimney, and then the dog came in, introduced himself. Of course, no dog can introduce himself.
Why are you then putting it this way?
So that people can understand the world of an animal. This is what we treat. This is how we train our owners to understand the world of an animal. So the dog came in and started making himself some breakfast while this guy crawled over to a corner of the room to die. In reality, the dog came in and just started eating some kibble out of a bag that the guy probably gave him. And the dog stayed with this man as he slowly died. Or, if you want to put it into the human terms again, as this guy laid there and died. I guess it's the same thing.
I don't understand. I don't understand why it is you can't just say the dog came into the shelter, the man was very, very hurt, and yet the two of them, for a little piece of time, bonded in some way. The man provided food for the dog. The dog stood guard over him. The man died. And the dog, being what he was very loyally standing guard over him. Now, the sheriff say that they had to convince the dog.
Well, absolutely, because the dog was standing guard over his new master, and dogs, you don't want to get between, it, as they say, a dog and his meat. Well, don't get between a dog and well, I was going to say dead meat, but...
All right, let's knock it off with the jokes, okay?
I'm not making a joke. The dog was going to be loyal, and so obviously using food and other coaxing. If you remember that Depression era song, it was about the dog. Don't stand over me on my day. I think it goes like this: don't stand over me on the day I die. There won't be kibble. There won't be pie. You lived a long time on steak and pudding, and now, you know, it ain't nothing. I'm going to die and go to people heaven. You're going to die and go to dog heaven. If there's a hell, and I pray that there isn't, you'll go to dog hell. Doesn't that, I forget what the last word is. And
why? What is the song about?
About this guy who he figures his dog's going to go to dog hell while he goes to people heaven because the dog, something about how the dog ate everything. So,
okay, look, Don, do you know anything other than dog songs?
I happen to be a dog. I'm a certified dog trainer.
Yes, that's what I told Phil, but you're giving us a lot of dogs. What I want to know is, all right, so you answered why the dog stayed there.
That's exactly right. The dog and the man bonded. And I use song, I use dance, I use everything that I can to get people to understand dogs. I love dogs. Don't get me wrong, you know.
Well, I know that you do, Don, but there's some of the technique you're using.
I know it's unusual, but you see, I use song, I use dance, I use costume, so that I can convince the people that have animals, you've got a very special creature here. And a dog is a very special creature. If you train an animal like a dog well, this animal can do so much for you in terms of people who need, the special needs people, in terms of families, in terms of just enjoyment of a dog. So I will use a straw hat. I use the large Las Vegas dance outfits with the big feathers.
When would you use that?
When I'm teaching the owners.
Yeah, but when would you use a big...
Oh, well, you want to give them a large stage show. I've gotten into drag because what you're doing is you are teaching them about their dog. And you have the family sit in the living room. I dim the lights, and I come out dressed as a woman.
And what's the reason for this?
This is how he teaches the owners.
No, I know that, but what are you...
I'm teaching the owners the relationship between dog, between man, the evolutionary compact. It's a very big story, Phil. It's a very big story. Do you want me to start it now?
No, I just wonder why you're coming out in a palm frond dressed like a Vegas showgirl.
I'm dressed like a Vegas showgirl because that applies to that part of the lesson on dogs, evolution of dogs, the original wolf, the Western China, the origins of the dog, the Middle Eastern development. Do you understand? This is a long, long, long process. By the time we get to something that looks like that border collie, when it used to be a wolf that stood about 5 feet tall and about 10 feet long, and it was a monstrosity that could kill anything in its path, would kill every Christian soul it saw, and now we've got that little tiny itsy-bitsy border collie, you want to laugh until you pee, until you see the original wolf. And the only way to deal with that is to laugh, and that would be to go out into the wild dressed as a Vegas showgirl and go ahead and just cast your fate to the wind.
Look, Don Dugan is a dog trainer, and he's on a show here talking about...
Well, you sound confused.
Hold on. Well, I am. Hold on. Don Dugan is with us. He's a dog trainer talking about dogs. You go out into the wild dressed as a Vegas showgirl.
Yes, because what you're doing is you're contacting the canine in his environment, and you're dressed in such a way as you lose your consciousness of civilization and you begin to meld into the scenery as an animal. Now, if I'm dressed in drag, lipstick, high heels, I mean, I'm ready to go as a woman. I've shaved. I'm at that point, I've lost connection to myself and anything that makes me feel good. And now I'm just a very weird-looking queen staggering... You people don't get it.
No, we do. Hold on.
I'm wasting my time. I try.
Don, you speak a different language.
No, I know that, but I can tell by the silence you don't give a damn. So, thank you very much.
La, la, la. He hasn't hung up yet.
Don, hang up, darling.
Da, da, da. Da, da, da.
Don, you have to hang the phone up.
But why don't these people hang up?
I don't know.
La, la, la. Oh, here's the phone. I didn't hang it up.
Okay. Your friend, huh?
I've known Don Dugan for years, and he's always made himself very clear to me. I don't know what he was talking about.
What are you talking about drag queen for?
Because he thinks that that's how he can abandon his connection to civilization and become all in with the dog if he staggers through the snow in high heels. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, what is that? We are not going to be back.
Bitch.
That's right.
The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What are you doing, bud? I got a story. Here's a Romney wins Ohio, split Super Tuesday with Santorum. What the hell are you doing?
That's a glitch, because that says, like right there, May 20, 2013.
Yeah, this has got links. The story that I was going to read to you guys, which I, it has to do with this dentist. And this guy, I'd heard about this guy. This guy, when's the last time you were at a dentist, bud?
Last year.
Bull crap. That's another thing I want you to do.
He's got to go to the dentist, bud, because sometimes your breath, bud, oh, God.
I told Vivian says it's like lilacs in the springtime.
Yeah. Anyway, look at this. This horrible dentist put 7,000 patients in danger. I don't know why this guy, or any dentist, or any doctor for that matter, I don't know how it is that they get to a point where they don't give a damn anymore. They're not taking care of business. I mean, what the hell? The dude's been practicing dentistry for 30 years. 30 years! He's been an oral surgeon in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he set off a local health panic after the health department discovered his disgusting office practices may have infected thousands of patients. Now, it isn't like the guy was trying to get away with it, because as soon as they uncovered all this, he voluntarily gave up his license to practice dentistry.
One wonders what else he can do for a living. He's just basically, he's just cashed in a whole career, and it didn't have to be. The Tulsa Health Department is sending letters to more than 7,000 current and former patients. What, bud?
There's about a bet the tornado.
It's got nothing to do with the tornado.
Yeah, but it's in Tulsa.
So, it's in Tulsa. It's got nothing to do with the tornado.
But it's in Tulsa.
It's got, there's other stuff going on in Oklahoma, even while they're dealing with a tornado. This has got nothing to do with it. What are you saying? The tornado caused this guy to be a bad dentist?
You don't know if the tornado did.
What's the tornado going to do, man? Make a guy be a bad dentist, man.
If he got hit on the head when he got blown around.
Oh, get out of here, will you? He got hit on the head. This has been going on since before, okay?
Oh, that's all you needed to say, then. You know, I don't got to get hit over the head with it if you want to tell me what's going on.
But we could have hit you over the head until you were unconscious with your skull crushed, and you still wouldn't have been able to figure it out.
Yeah, and then I would not be able to figure it out with my skull crushed.
You got an answer for everything, bud. You're an amazing guy. All right, just let me finish this. Wow. All right, so anyway, Dr. Wayne Harrington is the name of this doctor. The Tulsa Health Department sent out these letters to 7,000 current and former patients warning them that they should be tested for HIV and hepatitis after learning that that one of his patients may have contracted both of these diseases while receiving treatment. Oh, boy. The doctor who'd been practicing dentistry for more than 30 years was accused of a wide swath of health violations, including, now, hold on to your hat, rust-covered dental instruments, reusing needles to deliver drugs, using unlicensed assistants, and pouring bleach on open wounds as a disinfectant. In addition to the shoddy sterilization and cleaning practices, the office failed to keep track of his office drug supplies, leaving cabinets open and unsupervised and losing track of drugs that are supposed to be highly controlled substances. Failure to follow some drug control procedures can be a felony under federal law. There's certain drugs that are, you know, you can't just get them with a prescription. So this guy is just a mess. This guy's just a mess. So he got a dental license, and who knows how long this stuff's been going on in this office. He got a dental office. He's got a dental practice. It's actually an oral surgeon, which means he's like taking out wisdom teeth and doing some heavy, you know, he's doing some heavy stuff. Now, the good news is that the transmission of HIV and hepatitis B and C through dental work is extremely rare. The Center for Disease Control told CNN that the patient who started the investigation was the first instance that they're aware of where someone contracted hepatitis C from a dental procedure. But since Dr. Harrington was also a Medicare provider, he reportedly had a high percentage of patients who are already infected, raising the risk factors for his office. There are also many other less serious blood-borne viruses and other infections that could have been spread through his dental practice. 7,000 people.
Well, it makes you wonder who are the people that went there. See, buyer beware.
Yeah, you got to say buyer beware.
Buyer beware. Yeah, okay, buyer beware.
Buyer beware.
Yeah, buyer beware.
Yes, buyer beware.
Okay. So the guy is a buyer. So what are you telling me, man? I mean, I go into a dental office.
Can't you see that they're using different needles?
No, you can't see that. What do I know, man? I can tell you one thing, and this is all I know. I see the doctor, when you walk into a doctor's office, especially when you go into a dentist's office, they have stuff laid out. And I would say that if you're a patient at a doctor's office or wherever it is, man, you got to see, if you're going to get a shot, they should have the needles laid out with the caps on them. They should have the vaccine or whatever it is that you're going to get. It should all be there, ready to rock and roll. And if it isn't, when you go in there, then a nurse comes in, right? Am I wrong about this?
Well, yes, but some of the, and I don't mean anything about my doctor's nurses, some of these nurses get you talking. Oh, how are you, Mrs. Gray? Isn't that nice? Yada, yada, blah, blah. And they're trying to keep you focused on their dull conversation. I don't know what they're doing with the other hand. Are they...
What?
Well, are they injecting themselves with...
Margaret, I doubt it.
Yeah, I probably doubt that.
Well, you don't know, bud.
Hold on, I doubt it. But you know, usually you go into a doctor's office, you sit down, and the nurse comes, hey, how are you today? I'm fine. And she pulls out all the stuff he's going to need. She's pulling out the shot. She's pulling out the this. She's got your chart. You know, and they say, the doctor will see you in a minute. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I always do. That's right.
Okay. Now, or if you go to the dentist, it's the same thing. They'll have all the stuff laid out there, you know. And so you're ready to go, man. He ought to be wearing a surgical mask, you know, all that stuff.
When did they start wearing surgical masks?
In the 80s because of the AIDS scare. So if he ain't doing that, guys, then don't go to your doctor. Go see another doctor. I'm beat. All right, we'll be seeing you tomorrow night, or tonight, actually, at 10 on the Pacific Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. The Phil Henry Show is produced by me, Phil Henry, and our good friend, Mr. Dan Northcraft. And, of course, hit us up at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Backstage pass is always a Marvy thing. Wait a minute, I don't want the flag yet. Bud, what are you doing?
Oh, sorry.
I want my beautiful ocean. There's the beautiful ocean. So in any event, make sure you hit us up tonight at 10, 1 o'clock on the East Coast for the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And until we see you tonight, let that be a lesson to you. Man, this is really good looking. See that?
Phil Henry.